animals. I grew up with excitement. I grew up believing that these people, the white people, were superior, most superior to anybody else. I speak for myself in this case. I was much happier then than I am now. Of course, morally, I'm glad that the empire was dissolved, but nothing better really took its place. Since then, that's all gone. And my relationships now with Indians are very, very close and very, very affectionate, and I love them very much, and I realise that the effect they had upon me was that they had a better sense of humour than the English, and that I was brought up with an Anglo-Irish-Indian sense of humour, because they laughed so much more, even in their poverty, than anybody else I know. They were laughing all the time. And I would laugh at them laughing, and I developed a high degree of laughter. I laugh at practically anything, the whole human race, but I think it originated with these very kind, beautiful, gentle people who had a tremendous sense of humour, a great feeling for family life, a thing that I missed when I came back to England. I suffered withdrawal symptoms ever since.
This was Boxer. Oh, how I loved him. My boyhood dog. Boxer, my Boxer, where do you lie? Somewhere under a Pune sky. Ah, my canine, total joy, you were to me when as a boy we crossed the wind and ran the while, no end in sight, mile after mile. I was to you and you to me, locked in a bond eternally. They never told me when you died to spare me pain in case I cried. So then, to those adult fears, denied you then my childhood tears. I knew my father was Irish, and I felt very, very Irish, and I thought, I've written The Goon Show. I didn't put much store on it. I didn't know how it was going to escalate into becoming famous. I thought it was just a show. I thought I'd love to become a real Irish writer and write a novel based upon some of the stories my father had told me. The book has, I think, dare I say it, become a bit of a comedy classic. My father was so pleased. He had a little brass plate put on the wall. In this room was written Pakun by my son, Terence.
Two little men with the backside out of their trousers were holding a mass meeting. They had both known better days, but not partaken in them.
Comrades, said Seamus Ford, addressing his partner from a chair, I have good tidings. This new customs post at Pocoon is a boon and a blessing to men. Now, I have a plan, such a plan as Brian Boru would be glad to be associated in.
Looking at him adoringly was the sad, middle-aged, unshaven little face of the faithful follower, Lenny Braddock. He scratched himself furiously, at the same time giving off a few supporting...
Hear, hear.
Seamus banged his mittened hands across his body. The deserted barn was draughty, dirty, and dungy, but rent-free. Seamus went on with great fire.
To bury the stiffs these days, they's got to take them to that new customs post. It's a gift from heaven, don't you see?
No, I don't see, Seamus.
Do it, pay attention, then.
What?
Give us a puff on your fag. Now, our contacts on the other side says they're short of explosives, right?
Well, if you say so, yes.
I do.
Ah.
Now, normally, without the convenience of a coffin, you'd have your luggage searched and your pockets.
That's true. Yeah. Can I have me fag back?
Now, if we could get a coffin and rig up a phony burial, we could carry enough gelignite stuff in that coffin to blow Ulster back into the Republic, you see.
Oh, by God, that's a fine plan, boyo. A fine plan. I think this is the turning point in the history of Ireland. Can I have me fag back?
What we need is a coffin. Don't snatch like that.
Me fag.
A coffin. Now, there's a mortician in Delarose Street. You got them counterfeit pound notes? Good.
Can I have me fag back?
Of course, we got to make the plan watertight. Tomorrow I'll make arrangements for the coffin.
Suddenly, it was tomorrow.